All right, we have another caller. We'll find out who this is. Hi, who's this?
Tony Campolo.
Oh, I've heard of you before.
Well, I've heard of me before, too.
How are you, Tony?
Okay, brother.
Hey, listen, thank you for calling in to the show again, and it was nice to run into you at Tim Hortons the other day.
That was funny, wasn't it? There we are.
Listen, what's going on, big guy? You're down in the States again?
Yeah.
And where are you today?
I'm in Philadelphia. I'm in my hometown. I just finished speaking at a Lutheran conference.
Do you get speakered out?
No, I don't. I don't. I like it. I get energy out of it.
Do you?
Yeah.
It energizes you.
It turns me on.
Yeah. I'm glad it does. It was funny. Last time you were on the show, we went back and forth with a couple of things. We'll see if you can remember the punchlines here. You know you're getting old when you bend down, pull up your wrinkly socks, and you discover you aren't wearing any. Your turn.
Let's see. My line was, you know you're old when your idea of a happy hour is a nap.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And then I came back with some other one, and you came back with the piece de resistance, something about your wife being upstairs?
Yeah, I said, you know you're old when your wife says, let's go upstairs and have sex, and you say, I can't do both.
So, what happens when you run out of all the juices you have to be able to get people to care about the poor and the oppressed and the starving children of the world? You're pouring your heart out, and you just look and you see glazed eyes. You see apathetic hearts. What do you do?
Usually shout an obscenity. because there is something obscene, isn't there, about people being indifferent to the needs of those who are in desperate straits. And they deserve obscenity. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm tempted to go there as well, but
You know better.
I need a job.
Yeah, well, that's the tough part of being on the radio.
It is.
Yeah, they run people off the radio if they say the wrong thing.
Yeah, that happens.
Mr. Corrin will tell you.
Yeah,
that.
Yes, he will. He will tell you.
Jeez, poor guy. Yeah.
Man. Oh man, it's tough work up here. Of all of the scenes, of all of the stories, you've been overseas. You've seen the hunger, the strife, the destruction, the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the one story that's burned into your brain that sticks out the most right now.
Well, there was a situation down in Haiti a few years ago. I was in a town in the northern part of the country, and there were about 40 kids, we estimated, that were sleeping on the streets, had been orphaned because of the AIDS crisis, had nobody to take care of them. They didn't want to live with people who beat them all the time, so they were living on the streets. So I asked the priest, I said, you know, what would it cost to put up a building to house these kids, you know, and bring in somebody to take care of them and a little school for them to go to? And, well, we sat down and we figured at about $150,000 we could get the thing going.
Hmm.
So I came back to the States and begged people to give money, and they did, and we built the place. And the day we dedicated it, I went with the school bus to pick up these children. They were told to assemble in the plaza in the center of the town, and they would be taken to a place where they would have a bed, and they would have a place to sleep and care for and food and go to school. When we got to the plaza, the word had gotten out around the town and even beyond the town. And instead of these 40 homeless kids that we thought we were going to pick up, there were almost 300. And I had to pick out of the 340 kids. And I knew that the rest would be doomed in one way or another. The girls into prostitution, the guys into who knows what. And I tried not to look back at the ones I left behind, because I picked 40 out of that 300. And you can't pick 40 kids to live without.
No.
Simultaneously picking 260 to die in some form of death, of either emotional or spiritual or physical. And I remember their faces, the kids I left behind, indelibly on my conscience. And I got back to the building that we had constructed for this school, to this residence hall. These kids tumbled off the bus. There was a little church choir singing, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me. And I realized how angry I was with God at that point. And I thought to myself, he's not good, and he's not loving, or else this wouldn't happen. And then I sensed the Spirit of God speaking to me, saying, I am good. I do care. The people who I have entrusted with the responsibility to care for these children, they are the problem.
Hmm.
They're not loving. They're not caring, or else years ago remains with me and haunts me.
I honestly don't know how people can see what you or myself have seen in Nicaragua and just go back to a normal North American desensitized navel gazing narcissistic lifestyle.
Well, we've got to do some answering because the reality is there's first of all in the 25th chapter of Matthew it says there shall be a judgment of nations. I mean, that's what it says. It says, you know, on that day when I shall judge the nations. And countries like the United States and Canada have to be asked some very serious questions. In the United States, out of our federal budget, we allot less than 0.2% of our national budget to help the poor of the world. We spend 45% of our national budget on the military. And we don't realize that our security is more dependent on the friends we make by caring for the poor than on the armies we deploy with our vast military machine. Canada perhaps is less guilty of this than the United States, but you get dragged along into our state of consciousness.
Sure.
And you're there with us. I think it's about a little over 0.5% of your gross national budget that you assign to the poor. And Bono comes to the country and pleads with your prime minister. He comes to our country and pleads with our president. And when, in fact, a rock singer has to do the pleading instead of the church...
It's pretty sad.
It says something about the church, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That we're afraid to really lay the trip on people. I was at a place recently there in Canada, and somebody came up afterwards and said, you know, what you did today really upset me. You had me feeling guilty. And you want us to give out a guilt... And I said, to tell the truth, lady, I don't care how you give, whether you do it out of love, whether you do it out of guilt. I really would like you to do it out of love. But if you're not going to do it out of that, then I will do it out of guilt, because guilt is a very healthy reaction to sin. And it's sinful to live lives of affluent luxury while others are desperate need. It's sin. And a healthy reaction to sin is guilt. So if you feel guilty, feel guilty. Because guilt is what God wants you to feel. If you can ignore the needs of the poor while you embrace the affluence of luxury.
Hmm. We are on the phone with Dr. Tony Campolo. And he is, of course, world-renowned author and speaker and communicator. And he's Tony, you are probably one of the most passionate communicators I know. And you're like a megaphone or a loudmouth on behalf of the poor and the oppressed. The least of these.
Loudmouth is a good way of describing it. I've never heard it put that graphically before.
Yes.
You're right. I am a loudmouth. I will, in fact, scream when I can't get anybody's attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the best picture I could really paint here.
You know, there's a great line from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, when the Jews were being persecuted in Germany, said, "They who do not cry out for the Jews have no right to go to church and chant in Gregorian." And in a real sense, those who do not shout out on behalf of the poor have no right to go to church and sing hymns of, "I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord." It's so easy to say that.
Hmm.
And Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." And he means that both spiritually and physically.
Do you get, I've been accused of, how do I premise this? Okay, last week I asked a lady, we did a show on Catholicism versus Protestantism, and I said, how long have you been listening to the show? And she said, from the start, 3 years. I said, do you think I'm anti-Catholic? Because someone sent me an email that said I'm anti-Catholic. And she said, no, I actually think you're anti-everything. and then another lady said to me just recently, he said, I've been finding out that a lot of the pastors in the area aren't real fond of you. They don't like your show. You seem to be stirring the mud a little bit. You seem to be getting in people's face about stuff, and you seem to be kind of poo-pooing on the church. I'm a little frustrated with the anemic state of the body of Christ. Are you?
Yeah, there's a great line from St. Augustine that I always utilize because I think it sums up our situation. The line is, "The church is a whore, but she's my mother." What an interesting juxtaposition. She's my mother. I wouldn't be a Christian. I wouldn't know about Jesus. I wouldn't have a passion for the poor if it wasn't for the church. The church introduced me to Christ. The church led me to the Lord. The church gave me the Bible. The church has sustained me through the years. So she's my mother, but at the same time, she's a whore, in respect that a whore is one who is unfaithful, an unfaithful bride. I think that the church is the bride of Christ, but it's an unfaithful bride. It is not living up to what the bridegroom, i.e. Jesus, expects of it. He expects a church that is willing to be sacrificial. And I find that churches, particularly in the United States, will spend tens of millions of dollars on buildings while they ignore the needs of the poor. And you know, and I know, and your listeners know, that if there's a choice between buying a stained glass window or a new organ, or feeding starving kids in Haiti, that Jesus would feed the starving kids in Haiti.
But, Tony, people are going to say to you, no, but if we have to build this big fancy fortress so that more people will come, and then when more people come, we can impact more people, and more people will give ultimately, and then we'll get more done, and more money will go, and more.
Well, that's the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of Christ is often foolishness when it's compared to the wisdom of the world. Let me just put it this way. The church got along for 380 years without any buildings at all. The early church had no buildings. It met in homes. It met in underground caves. It met wherever it could find a place. And that they were the years when the church expanded most brilliantly. In China, the underground church, the unofficial church, is what's growing, leaps and bounds, with as many as 40 million people without any buildings. And I would contend that the church needs to spend its money on mission to those who are beyond the borders of the church. I contend the following, that the church is the only club in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And if we're spending the money on the members instead of the non-members, we're not living up to what the church is called to be.
Very well said. On the phone with Dr. Tony Campolo, and the reason that Tony is joining us on the show today is because we are pleading with you, and I have no problem begging or being another loudmouth on behalf of the poor and the oppressed, to sponsor a child with Compassion Canada. The number is 1-800-563-KIDS. You call right now, 1-800-563-KIDS, and the ladies are standing by waiting for you to say, yeah, I want to sponsor a child. I want to get out of my comfort zone. I want to stop navel-gazing. I want to sponsor a child. $35 a month. Everybody knows that's pretty much how much it costs with all these organizations. $35 a month. Let's do it today.
And the people out there ought to know that well over 90% of that money ends up in the hands of the child and the child's family who's taking care of that child. And only a small proportion is used for overhead. And the reason why that much has to be used for overhead is very simple. In third world countries, very often, children, particularly children who are orphaned, are moved from place to place. 1 month they're with an aunt, 1 month they're with friends across the town, 1 month they're with some other cousin. And just keeping up with them and making sure that the money that is given gets directly to those who are taking care of the child is a monumental task. So that's why money has to be used on administration. But I can actually vouch for the fact that Compassion gets that money out to kids. I have two kids with Compassion, and that's some of the best money that I invest. I believe in Compassion right now because we're pleading on behalf of Compassion. They really need sponsors. You know, there's a couple of verses in the book of 1 John that goes like this. If you have this world's goods, and you know of brothers and sisters who are in desperate need, and you keep what you have while they suffer, how can you say, I have the love of God in my heart? That's a good question. In my own experience, I know this. I just got back a little while ago from Zimbabwe, and I was in a town where, well, it was the capital, Harare. And they got me up early in the morning, and they put me in a car, and they said, we want you to follow a truck. Not any truck, but a special truck. And the guys who were driving the truck would get off the truck from time to time and go and shake kids who were sleeping on the sidewalk and to see whether or not they were alive. And if a kid was dead, they would pick up the corpse and throw it on the back of the truck.
Mm.
And they took the truck to the edge of the town. The guys who were driving me made me follow this for an hour and a half. And they put these kids in a pile and burned their bodies. And I'm saying to myself, why should a kid, 10, 11 years old, have to die on the streets with a swelled belly and rust-colored hair because of lack of food, lack of malnutrition, covered with sores? Why should a kid die out there alone like that when there's a church around? And I've got to say, it's not that we can't solve the problem. It's that the people of God don't have the will to solve the problem.
Why? Why don't we?
I think we're not in touch with Christ. Because if Christ is really in us, the things that break the heart of Christ break his heart, break our hearts. You know, there's that great line, may my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of Jesus. I spend time, Drew, each morning on my knees, not asking God for anything, but just allowing the Holy Spirit to flow into me. I spend that time just yielding. I say the name Jesus over and over again. I don't ask for a thing. I just surrender to his presence. And I find that when the Spirit flows into me, there is a passion created for those who are in need. And when I look into the eyes of the poor and the needy kids of the world, I always have this strange and eerie sensation that Jesus is staring back at me and that Jesus is saying, whatever you do to me, you're doing to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to him. I find that when I'm filled with his Spirit, when I go out and look at poor people, and especially children, I have this eerie sensation that Jesus is staring back at me, that he comes to me through the poor, through the oppressed, through the needy.
You and I lost someone that, well, you knew personally, and I just knew through his writing, through his speaking, just over 2 years ago now, Mike Iaconelli.
Oh, yes.
And Mike is just as passionate of a person as you are. And, you know...
Right now there's an orphanage and school over in Africa that bears his name. He made a lot of money off of writing books and out of making tapes and all of that, you know, running those national youth conventions. He made a lot of money. But what a lot of people don't know is that he gave away huge amounts of money. Mm. And he totally financed this school that has hundreds and hundreds of kids in it. And Carla, his wife, went over after his death and visited the school. And I know she sees that as a legacy that goes on. In addition to that, he always found people who were struggling to help poor people and undergirded them. There's a guy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by the name of Salim, and he started a program called the Pittsburgh Project, in which he gets youth groups to come in, and they go around the city, and they find these houses that are broken down and falling apart where elderly people live. The health department, the home health department for the aged in Pittsburgh, gives them the names of people's old people's whose houses have been condemned, but they don't move out because there's no place for them to go. And he has these youth groups go in and fix up these houses for these old, shut-in, incredibly poor people. And they've put together over 3,000 houses for elderly people in the city. And Mike was the primary financier of that organization. There's things like that nobody knows about. But that guy had a heart for the poor, a heart for the needy, and that's why we were such good friends, because we resonated. We were on the same wavelength. We recognized that we were making money. I make money on my books. I make money on my speaking. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. There is something very wrong with keeping it. To whom much is given, much is expected.
Well, and that is a problem I have with North Americans in general, but or Westerners. But also, I've been criticized quite often for this because I criticize back the prosperity doctrine scenario.
Of course,
I have a really stinking hard time with that stuff.
Well, how can you believe the prosperity doctrine and follow what Jesus who said? And this is what he said: the foxes have holes, the birds have nests. If you follow me, you're not even going to end up with a place to lay your head. If you follow me, you're going to end up poor and beaten down. The servant is not greater than the master. What's true of me will be true of you. He who is rich for our sakes became poor. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Read Luke, the 6th chapter. It says quite pointedly, blessed are the poor and woe unto those who are rich. I mean, you go through the scripture, Drew, and you'll find that there are 2,000 verses of scripture that call upon us to respond to the needs of the poor. That's why pleading on behalf of poor children in third world countries by asking them to support kids with compassion is a brilliant and wonderful way to serve Christ. And what a wonderful thing to do with your radio show, to give this time. I assume you're not charging compassion for the time.
We have worked out a lovely arrangement where they're going to buy me a new Mercedes once once every 6 months.
Oh, and yeah. You know, when I go out, I throughout Canada last week, I was doing it for World Vision. I do it for Compassion in the United States. When I go out and speak, they always want to pay me, and I won't take the money. I mean, why would I take money from Compassion to speak on behalf of Compassion when in reality the need for the whole reason why I'm out there speaking is to get other people to sacrifice to give to the poor of the world. I mean, unless those of us that are doing the pleading are ourselves sacrificial, we're not going to we're not going to speak with any kind of the integrity. You know, we live lives of such luxury. My wife loves to joke with me and say, my husband has a suit for every day of the week. He's wearing it. You know, how many suits do we need? Yeah. How many pairs of shoes do we need? How much of anything do we need? Why would we go out and spend $60,000-$70,000 on a luxury car when you could get a second-hand car at Hertz or Avis that's in perfect running condition for like one-tenth of the cost, and it will drive well, and you can use the rest of the money to serve Christ in the kingdom by serving the poor? I don't understand why Christians spend money the way they do. We all wear these little pins. What would Jesus do? And I have to ask people, what would Jesus do if he had the money that you have? Would he not at least say, there's going to be one kid, you know, that on Judgment Day, when the Lord says, I was hungry, did you feed me, naked, did you clothe me, sick, did you take care of me? He can hit the kid and say, tell him. You know, don't you want at least one kid to be there? If Jesus had your money, wouldn't he do that?
Oh, man. On the phone with Dr. Tony Campolo. We're going to leave you real soon here, but I always appreciate when you come on because you always shoot from the hip. You're a straight shooter. You've got a built-in BS detector that's brilliant. I absolutely love it. And the other thing about you, Tony, is you're a funny guy. Okay.
I hope.
I don't know whether you've realized this or not yet, but very funny guy. One of the funniest stories I ever heard, and I want you to tell this again to our listeners, and then I'd like you to throw in something else, too, because I think... giving and laughing and lightening up and is all part of doing Jesus. I think the two greatest things is giving and lightening up and laughing. Really, we got to lighten up. So tell us the elevator story.
Oh, well, I got a lot of elevator stories. The latest one, you know, I love elevators because all kinds of fun things happen. But just recently, I was in the Hyatt Hotel in Chicago, and I'm on this elevator, you know, and I'm going down the ground floor. I'm late for a meeting where I'm going to be speaking to a bunch of corporate executives about corporate responsibilities to the poor. So I'm on this elevator coming down the ground floor. And there's this kid next to me, deader than a doornail, drooping shoulders. I said, hi. And he's wearing these pants. I don't know where you see these pants. I don't know whether they're long pants or short pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're down there. And they're hanging so low. Have you seen how low these kids wear their pants?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these pants, it was summer. They were so low, you could see the crack in the back. You know what I mean?
I know it.
I had the temptation to pull out my pencil, you know, and put it right in there. You know.
It's a coin slot. You're supposed to drop a quarter in.
Yeah, so I said, hey, how you doing? You know, all right. Having a good day. We got down to the ground floor. The elevator doors didn't open. I'm panicked. I start banging on the doors, and I'm yelling, hoping somebody will hear me. Get these doors open! I got a meeting! Get these doors open! And all of a sudden, I heard a voice behind me say, sir, the door is open. I turned. It was one of those elevators that had doors on both sides, and I'm banging on the wrong door. And this kid didn't laugh. I couldn't believe it. He didn't laugh. I grabbed him by the shoulders, and I shook him, and I said, kid, laugh! This is funny! Søren Kierkegaard once said, this age will die, not because of sin, but lack of passion. We're not passionate about joy. We're not passionate about love. We're not even passionate about caring for the poor. I want to make a last plea for your listeners.
Thank you.
It's this. It's Christmas. You've got a husband, you've got a wife, you've got a kid, you've got somebody in your family that you got to buy a Christmas present for. And you don't know what to buy them. They already have everything. I'll tell you what you should buy for people who have everything. Nothing. What you ought to do is contact Compassion, sponsor a kid, they'll send you a picture of the kid. The very kid that you're going to support. Wrap up that picture, give it to the loved one on Christmas morning with a little note. This child will be supported each month in your name. This child will have hope. This child will have an education, will eat, will have medical care, will be evangelized, and all of this will be done because of my love for you. This is my way of honoring you this Christmas season. My gift to you is to sponsor a child in your name in a third world country. That person will get letters from the child. That person can write to the child, can visit the child. I've visited two of the four children that I support when I've been overseas. So that's a great Christmas present. I don't know what anybody's thinking of giving for Christmas, but chances are you're going to go out and go up and down the aisles trying to find something. And if you're Pentecostal, you'll have your hands in the air praying that God will give you a present that you can give to somebody who has everything. Don't be stupid. Support a child. Get the picture. Send the picture. It'll make a great Christmas present.
Tony Campolo on the Drew Marshall Show, pleading on behalf of the poor, the oppressed, and the least of these. And folks, we need you to call 1-800-563-KIDS right now. Do not wait. Do not let someone else do it. You do it. You get in. You bud in line in this whole deal here.
What's that number again?
1-800-563-KIDS. Boy, Tony, you're good at this. You've done this before. 1-800-563-KIDS. And if you can't spell kids, it's 5437. Does that kind of work? Hey, man, listen, I appreciate you. The way you do, Jesus, you and Mike Iaconelli ruined me forever.
Good.
Years and years ago.
Good.
So
good.
Thanks, man.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye. Now, always good to chat with Tony Campolo, and he's the kind of guy who feels like, I feel like him as buddy, but I guess everybody feels that way with Tony. Do you feel like your buddies are Tony's buddy, Norm?
No, but I feel like I'm your buddy.
Okay, well, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. And folks, if you weren't rocked and moved by listening to Tony Campolo about sponsoring a child with compassion, then you're dead. You just take your two fingers, go up to your jaw on the right side, just below your jawbone, feel for a pulse just in your carotid artery right there. Do you feel anything? The number is 1-800-563-5437. 1-800-563-KIDS. And here are some kids that we want to... First of all, can we get a bit of an update for everybody? Somebody who's been listening in, what's been happening here?
Well, I'm kind of guessing at this point, but I'm thinking we're closing on about 30.
Excellent.
Or so.
Excellent.
35. So we've got a little bit of time left. We need those... You know, people to call that number.
I want 16 kids sponsored in 15 minutes.
Thanks to Regina. She did, she sponsored Oscar through the web. And Betty sponsored Yeska from Uganda.
Oh, good.
Terry Drake sponsored Juan from the Dominican Republic. We've had some other kids. Mark sponsored Maria from Guatemala. So we've had a number of kids sponsored while Tony was talking.
Fantastic. Okay, Nicole, who are you looking at?
We're still waiting for a sponsor for Brandon. His birthday is February 6, 2001, so he is four right now.
4 years old. Okay.
And who else do I have here? Iveth from the Dominican Republic. And her birthday is also coming up. December 16th, 1999 was when she was born.
Okay, so another beautiful birthday. Six years old, if 1999, I think that's right. Mm-hmm. 6 years old, a December birthday child. So what is it going to be that connects you to the child? What's it going to be that makes you make this phone call? 1-800-563-KIDS. Is it going to be, that birthday is near my birthday or my son's birthday, grandkids' birthday, whatever. It connects with someone you know. Is it going to be the country they're in? Oh, Uganda, okay, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, whatever. Is it going to be it's a boy or it's a girl? Or what about twins? You want some twins? Is it going to be a child with special needs? Maybe they're handicapped. Does that wrench your heart more? Look, we got any kind of kid you want here, folks. That's the reality. These kids need to be sponsored. We got good-looking kids. We got ugly kids. We got tall kids. We got short kids. We got kids from all around the world, and they need your help. $35 a month with Compassion Canada. I'm looking at Miriam right now from Kenya. And she was born January 6, 2000, so she's 5 years old, almost going to be six, I think. And she is living with her uncle and aunt at home. The reason she's living with her uncle and aunt is because her parents are gone. And if she's from Kenya, I'm pretty sure there's probably an AIDS issue over there as well. Norm, would you not say?
Yeah, it tends to be the way in Africa, unfortunately. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So Mariam, that's her name, Mariam, from Kenya. She is an orphan. She is 5 years old, born January the 6th. Who will sponsor her? Again, the number, 1-800-563-KIDS. Norm.
I've still got these two young boys from Raj Mahal Children's Home, the two young guys from East India, Pataraj, born August 7th, 1998, and Johan, born July 16th, 1998. And you know what? I'd love, before we head home today, to have someone call, sponsored. We'll get the email that tells us. I would love to find a sponsor for Johan or Pateraj.
Okay, excellent. Nicole.
Here is Maria. Maria's from Guatemala, and her birthday, September 25, 1997.
It'd be nice if people could say, hi, I'm calling, what is the number again? 1-800-563-KID. They dial the number, they say, Compassion Canada, how can we help? Yes, I was listening to the Drew Marshall Show, and I understand that we're sponsoring children here. Give me anybody. Anybody. First child on the top of the pile.
Yep.
Or if you want to go for more of a hard case, for lack of a better way of putting it, give me a child that hasn't been sponsored in over a year. That child needs to be prayed for. I want to take on that child. That child needs to be sponsored. The child needs to be cared for. The child needs to be prayed for. Needs to be written letters to the back and forth kind of thing. Do it. Just do it.
And you know what? Last year, I know we had, I believe there was a gentleman out there who called and sponsored like 10 kids.
Yeah.
You know what? There are people out there who have the ability to do that. And, you know, you can look at the bank account and see that would be, what, about $350 a month to sponsor these kids. And maybe, you know what? Let's get them all from the same country.
Same place.
Or from a couple projects that are close by to one another so that you can go and visit them in Guatemala or in Peru or in the Dominican and visit them all at the same time. You know what? If you have the ability to do that, call, ask the question, and you can make it happen. It's that simple.
We've got a few more children we want to highlight before we leave the show today, and we want you to call 1-800-563-KIDS, and that is the Compassion Canada head office in London, Ontario. Joining us in the studio today is Norm and Nicole from Compassion Canada head office, and we have brought with us, or they have brought with them, a bunch of children that need to be sponsored. And I was telling you a little while ago about Mariam from Kenya. She is an orphan. She was born in the year 2000, so she's 5 years old. She was born January 6th. And she is living with her uncle and aunt right now. And her uncle and aunt are sometimes they get work. So it's a very sporadic kind of a thing. There's three children in the whole family. And she's not going to school right now, but if she gets into this compassion program down there, boy, the education, the health care, we will take care of you thing will totally be happening. Plus, I guarantee you that Mariam will hear about Jesus Christ.
That's probably the best news of all for me is the fact that they get an opportunity to respond to the good news of Christ. And you know what? For the poor of the world, it is really good news. Mm. And I think God really – and Tony hit on that a little bit, just that God
Tony
and the poor
– Tony who?
Campolo.
Oh, right. He was just on the show.
Yeah, that guy that you're buds with.
Yeah.
And they – I don't know. God has a special place and a special relationship with the poor. I want to talk about a couple of twins. I don't know. Do you say a couple of twins? It's twins. And let's see. It's Yvette and Elizabeth from Burkina Faso, born February 20th, 1998. And we had a mom earlier who sponsored some twins because she had twins. And maybe that's the case in your home as well. You've got a set of twins, and you want to sponsor some kids to kind of go along with yours. A couple of young ladies, February 20th, 1998, from Burkina Faso, Elizabeth and Yvette.
Okay. Thanks, Norm. Nicole?
I just want to say a little bit more about Burkina Faso. Literacy rate there is only 14%. So these people...
Whoa. Say it again.
The literacy rate in Burkina Faso is only 14%.
Whoa.
Yeah,
is it
really
just me,
low.
Or is that ridiculously low?
Really low. Another problem they have there is the power of the occult. So many churches are dominated by idolatry. Just the church really needs our help. So you can do that by sponsoring those two, the twins, a set of twins from Burkina Faso.
Beautiful.
I'm also looking here at a picture of Marco from Mexico. Just to tell you a little bit more about Mexico, huge drug trade problems there. Also, over 50% of the population is under the age of 20, so a lot of youth that really need care and attention, and you can do that by sponsoring these kids. In Mexico City, actually, there's over 600,000 who are sleeping out in the streets. They desperately need to be part of that safe haven in the projects that Compassion has set up. So call to sponsor Marco. His birthday is also coming up, and that's on January 1st, and he was born in 1997. So.
Okay. 1-800-563-KIDS. That's the number. We've been saying it all afternoon. If you don't know it, we certainly know it. 1-800-563-KIDS. 1-800-563-5437. We've got someone who called in and I think is willing to sponsor a child. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Garnett.
Garnett, how are you, man?
I'm good.
You called because?
I want to sponsor, I think it's Miriam.
Oh, beautiful. She's right here in front of me from Kenya.
Yeah, she's born in January.
Yes.
As my two other children.
Oh, good. So there's a connection there for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's very good. Thank you
and
so much.
I need to call the 1-800 number,
definitely.
Right?
Call 1-800-563-KIDS. 1-800-563-5437.
Okay, I have it already.
Great, Garnet. Thank you so much, mate.
Okay,
all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great way to end the show. Someone calling in saying, I'm going to sponsor
Chuck. Yeah, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, guys, let's wrap it up here. We have 30 seconds left, roughly. What do you want to say, Norm?
Man, you know what? You feel like you've said it all, and yet you can't say enough at the same time. These are real lives, real kids that we can make a difference just to bring them Jesus Christ and to feed them, clothe them. I mean, all that stuff we've talked about all day. Would you do that? 1-800-563-5437.
Good. Nicole, thank you very much. This is your first time joining us on the show.
Very first time.
Glad you're here and able to connect with all of us here.
Yeah.
What do you want to say? You're the communications guru, over there at Compassion Canada. So what do you want to say to our listeners?
Well, you know, if you didn't call now, you can still do it later. So if it's 5 o'clock now, we're leaving, but that doesn't mean you can't call in. So check out Drew's website, drewmarshall.ca. Call our office. You've heard the number 1,000 times. Again, it's 1-800-563-KIDS. Phone our office or email us. Check us out online at compassion.ca. Do whatever you need to do to find out what you need to and sponsor a kid. That's the bottom line. You need to do it.
It is, bottom line. And I'm going to, this is the last thing I want to say. Maria from Guatemala, Maria Perez. Every time we say this, seriously, when you look at these pictures, honestly, I make joke about this. I haven't seen an ugly kid. I have not seen one ugly kid here. These kids are gorgeous. And I remember that feeling over in Nicaragua. Like, where are the ugly kids? We got lots of them here in Canada. Maybe it's the McDonald's we eat here or something. But this girl is gorgeous. Born 1997. Her name is Maria. Born September 25th, 1997. She needs to be sponsored. Please. On behalf of the Drew Marshall Show, this is our last girl. 1-800-563-KIDS. 1-800-563-5437. Folks, thank you for your patience, for bearing with us. I know it wasn't our typical show today, but I don't care. If it offended you, get over it. If you were bored, come on, seriously. This is so important. It has to be done. We've got to get the word out, and I'll spend as much time as I can, like Tony Campolo, being a loudmouth on behalf of the poor and the oppressed and the least of these.
And Drew, let me say thank you to you for taking the time to do this.
No, thank you.
And I just appreciate your passion for it. And I know some people might sit there and go, well, that was rather offensive. but you know what? I know where your heart is in all of this, and you just want to make a difference. And so I appreciate that.
All right, mate. Thank you very much. Norm, Nicole, it's been a slice. Folks, coming up next, we got Christian Bounce. I think we should go out with something that reminds me of kids all over the world. 1-800-563-5437, Compassion Canada, sponsor a child. Thanks, folks.